Hello, everyone. Welcome back to a brand new episode of Books on the Move, the podcast where I, your host Danielle, talk about books while I am on the move in some capacity, this being taking a walk or driving my car. And today, or maybe for the past few episodes, if you've been listening, you'll know that my version of walking is pacing back and forth in my house. Right now I'm in my bedroom, which is, a little space, but it counts, right? It counts. It's April, but yet you look outside and it feels like winter. It's in the 30s. It's raining. When I woke up this morning, my Echo told me that it was 40 degrees and snowing, to which I sat up in bed and was like, "Are you freaking kidding me? What is happening? I hate this." I can't wait for the weather to get warmer. It comes and goes. Yesterday was pretty nice, but I was busy. I've been working really hard on my magazine level story, but I kind of just wanted to get up and move around. And also, I finished reading a book yesterday. So, perfect opportunity to talk about said book, right? Take a break from writing, talk about a book that I read. So, that book, which I'm talking about today, which you'll know about because it's in the title of this episode, is Jane Eyre by Charlotte Bronte. So, as I always do, I want to give you a brief backdrop of my history with this book, why I picked it up when I did. So, basically, Jane Eyre, I mean, it's kind of one of those staple books, It's like everybody knows about it for the most part. You learn about it in your literature class. You might read it, but if you don't read it, you still talk about it in some capacity. And, whenever we studied female authors, Charlotte Bronte was among those who we discussed, and her sisters as well. And because I never did read any of the Bronte sisters' work in school, I was not really exposed to it that much. Like, I believe one of the sisters wrote Wuthering Heights. The other sister, I'm really not too familiar with. And then obviously we have Charlotte, who wrote Jane Eyre. So I bought my copy of the book when the film version was coming out in 2011. As I've mentioned, I tend to buy the film version copies of the books. I know a lot of people hate that, but what can I say? I'm a sucker. And so I bought the film copy. This was when Borders still existed. We had a Borders in the mall near my house where I grew up. And unfortunately, Borders no longer exists. Not only that, but like when Borders died, the bookstore that was there just changed, I think, to, I forget, because it was a Walden Books, I think, which I think was a branch of Borders. And then I think it changed to Atlantic Books. Then it changed to Borders. And then I think it was just a generic bookstore. And now it's not a bookstore at all. And it's very sad and just a continual disappearance of bookstores in my area. The only one we really have now is Barnes and Noble, which I'm not a fan of. I really, really hate Barnes and Noble. So, it's great having them around. But anyway. So, I bought my copy of Jane Eyre at this little bookshop in the mall, and I've had it for years, and it was kind of one of those things where I like desperately wanted to read it because I wanted to see the movie, but it's just been sitting on my bookshelf since like 2011. It's been 8 years, which is crazy to think about, but so it goes. So I finally picked it up because my friend Anya and I do a book club together, and being that it was her turn to pick the winter book that we read, she chose Jane Eyre. So I was like, yes, I love it. Let's do it. So she was really excited because I believe this is one of her favorite books. Anya, you can correct me if I'm wrong if you listen to this. There was like a lot of sort of expectations going into it from her, and also from just what I know of the book. Going into it, my biggest concern was the ending in Mr. Rochester. I had heard not too good things about that aspect of the book, primarily that Rochester lies to Jane, keeps, well, spoilers, just so you know, keeps his wife, who is crazy, locked in an attic in his house, and she burns his house, and then they get together. That was my understanding. And I read a lot about that, like, on the interwebs and was like, huh, that doesn't sound too pleasant. And, you know, when you read books like this, you know, some have not aged well. That tends to happen. But I didn't really want to go into this with a narrow mind. I wanted to come to my own conclusions. But I was a bit fearful that I wouldn't like the ending. And fortunately, I can safely say now that the ending did not disappoint me for those reasons. But anyway, let's talk about the book as in its entirety. So, for the most part, I really enjoyed this book. There was only like a few sections where I didn't find myself enjoying it. That being the whole kind of section where Rochester proposes to Jane and kind of fakes her out. I thought that was weird. And then I didn't like a lot of the scenes with Jane and St. John toward the end. I just found it very tedious, and it kind of seemed like a plot that kind of popped out of nowhere and only existed to be like, oh, right, that's right. We have to wrap this up some way. We have to have her end up with Rochester. I know, we'll have another guy propose to her to make her realize her love for Rochester. Whatever. So, yeah, those were the only scenes that I really kind of grew tired of pretty quickly. But for the most part, the book, I found, like, when you read something like Dickens, like, when I read Oliver Twist, that book was difficult. Like, I really struggled with Oliver Twist. And I feel like Jane Eyre didn't suffer from the pitfalls that great literature usually does suffer from, which is that Jane Eyre was intensely readable. I feel like that's a saying I'm kind of relying a bit too much on these days, but I think in our modern era, with our modern sensibilities, there are a lot of people, friends of mine included, who don't want to read classics, which I think is a real shame because classics are so, they have so much character. There is so much character to this book. Like, classics don't have the same restrictions in the way we understand narrative today. Like, as I'm reading Jane Eyre, I'm thinking, you know, if we're talking about, like, story and how tight it is, Jane Eyre isn't that tight to me. But yet, there's just some reason that you don't want to rip it apart because there's so much character to it and so much, just such interesting language being used that you don't see in books today. And if you do, it's kind of a rarity, you know? But anyway, right off the get-go, I was enjoying this book. You have an orphan, and I'm like, sold. I'm like, oh yeah, let's get this started. I love books about orphans, right? Don't we all? So, when I was younger, being a tomboy, and always being that kind of person who like had a big imagination, I always loved these stories of, you know, orphans or kids who felt mistreated, who wanted to run away from home and kind of had to stand up to authority. That always excited me. And of course, it still excites me to this day. I used to really like, when I was younger, whenever I would watch a movie or see or read a book that was about a character who started as a child and then grew into an adult, I always hated the adult portions. I loved the kids' portions because I found them to be so much more exciting. Like, even, well, actually, this is not the same comparison, but, like, what I was gonna say was we had a National Geographic VHS tape, and I used to love the animal section, but when it got to, like, the humans, which is mostly concerned with, like, adult culture and rituals, I, like, was like, yeah, I'm done. I'm not gonna watch this anymore. So, you know, but that's completely different. So I don't even know why I said it, but anyway. And yeah, but this book like immediately caught me. I loved the section with Jane as a child, seeing how she stood up to her family who, you know, took her in when her parents died and kind of reluctantly and really just despise her for no reason. And Jane is, it's interesting because Jane, this is from a first person perspective, and Jane provides such great commentary, which is interesting because I was just listening to a podcast on Harry Potter, and the host was saying, like, how the narration in Harry Potter is so all over the place. Like, is it Harry's perspective, or is it an omniscient narrator? Sometimes it seems to jump to Harry's perspective for, like, no reason, and then kind of jumps back. It's weird. And that led into a discussion about how, like, older texts used to be more kind of stand out when it came to narrative voice. For example, like Jane Austen and explaining things to people about what's going on in the narrative. So, you know, this is, you know, quite a back and forth, if you will. I actually just remembered part of that is also I'm reading a book on writing, and so part of that answer I just said was from that book. I knew it wasn't entirely from that podcast. Anyway, back to what I'm talking about. So, yeah, I really enjoyed the beginning sections. I like how the book tackled this idea. Like, it had a lot to do with faith, the book. Like, Jane, her childhood friend, dies and talks about the afterlife, and Jane really takes this to heart, and, you know, it's a big portion of the final act of the book, of her coming to, you know, her decisions and, you know, returning to Rochester, leaving Rochester. All of that has to do with her sort of religious beliefs, and I found that very moving because I guess we kind of assume old books to like be like, oh, old-timey people like do old-timey people things and don't realize, but like this book actually has this enlightened air about it. Like, yeah, Jane is a modern woman, but she also has faith and she's not dumb about it. She actually thinks about it. So, I liked that. I also like how the book.
I don't know that.
My echo just turned on for no reason. Okay. Anyway. So, what was I gonna say? I like how the book didn't create drama for the sake of it. All of the drama that existed was there to fuel the main plot, which seemed to be the uncovering of Rochester's wife and Jane's return to Rochester. You know, like for example, I think it's Mr. Brocklehurst who's at the school. You think something like bad's gonna happen there, kind of like a Mr. Bumble or whatever his name is in Oliver Twist. Like you expect him to be this constant antagonist to Jane, but actually there really is no antagonist in the book that I can think of. So I found that quite refreshing. What else? What else? I like Jane a lot as a character. I think, you know, it was interesting too. I have to say that, like, this novel, especially toward the end, felt like a bunch of different novels, like, in one all of a sudden. It felt like a bit of Les Miserables and Hunchback of Notre Dame, and it felt like Mary Barton by Elizabeth Gaskell. Glasgow, I forget her name. And it felt a bit like Pride and Prejudice at times, like St. John felt like Mr. Collins, and you know, I really loved that. Like, it just felt like an abundance of literature was being thrown at me, and I'm like, oh my God, like, I'm in heaven. So, I thought that was kind of neat. What else? What else? What else can I say about this book? Like I said, the ending, I like it. I like that Jane came to the conclusion to go back to Rochester, though it is kind of weird how, like, she heard it and he heard her calling out to him, and they just knew that they were like had to, something was gonna happen, and she knew she had to return to him. And I'm like, all right, like, really? That's what happened? Like, she heard his voice? Like, And he heard hers. Okay, that's all right, book. If that's what you want to do, I guess I can't make you stop. But I thought that was kind of out of nowhere. And for a book that seemed to be so grounded in realism, it kind of took me aback. Like, oh, that she heard a voice. Okay. Oh, she's leaving. All right. Well, okay. Who am I? Who am I to question that? So I thought that was kind of strange, but, you know, I like that Jane has a strong character. Like, there are moments, like, when she leaves Rochester that she is very pained to do so because she loves him, but she knows deep down in her heart that she has to because of her beliefs. And I thought that was very refreshing. What else can I say about this book? Honestly, I gave it 4 stars on Goodreads. It didn't capture me quite as much as I think a favorite would, you know? But with that being said, I still think it was a really great read. I get why it's a classic. And let me also say real quick, because I touched on this in the beginning, I talked about the ending and how I was nervous for it. And I want to talk about why I don't think the ending is as bad as it's made to be. So when we find out about Rochester's wife, that moment, I hated him. I felt sorry for him, but I hated him because he went on this whole monologue to Jane, trying to defend his actions and say, like, oh, well, this is what happened. This is why I got married and how I was tricked into it. And I was trying to, you know, live my life. And I tried to find, you know, a decent wife, but I couldn't until I found you, Jane. And it's all about him. It's never quite understanding that, you know, she is a person and, you know, has desires of her own. And the fact that he betrayed her, like, it's all about, like when she says she can't stay, he's like, oh, you're gonna do that to me? You're gonna break my heart? And I'm like, Rochester, do you know what you did to her? Like, you lied. And that's a big lie to sit, you know, your crazy wife's living in the attic. Like, it's just, you know, I did not like it. And I was like, yeah, I get why people don't like Rochester now. Like, he is being an ass. But the end of the book, there was never a point where the book excuses him for these actions. Rochester is seemingly redeemed, I'd say. He, you know, when his wife burns down the house, he tries to save as many people as possible and results in going blind, which I think sort of is his penance for everything that happened. And Jane doesn't go back to him. You know, it's not that Jane stops loving him, you know. She leaves because of her Christian principles. Only when, you know, she comes to realize that he's the only person she could ever love, and, you know, his wife is dead, does she go back to him and become his wife. And I think those are two completely separate things. There's Rochester, the lying, sort of conceited, I don't know, just the lying to be husband. And then there's the choice of Jane to return, if that makes sense. Because if the book had had these two events happen simultaneously, that I think would have been problematic, because Jane staying with him would have been linked to kind of these harmful ideas of women being pressured to do something and to love men who have wronged them, and just kind of going with these social norms. But Jane actively worked against that. Jane went on her own. She ran away. She made a life for herself. She didn't have to go back, but she did. And that makes all the difference, in my opinion. And, you know, there's never a moment when she kind of, like, like she stops loving him, you know, she constantly is thinking about him, but she knows by her principles that she can't be with a married man. She doesn't want to be his mistress. She wants to be married to him, and obviously she does end up being married to him, so it is a good book. I would recommend you read it. It's actually quite a quicker read than you would expect. It just took me a long time because I've been super busy, but I literally read, like, I think the last 200 pages. Actually, yeah, yesterday I finished reading it, and I read, like, 200 pages in a day. So, you know, you can do it too. So anyway, that's it from me. Thanks for listening to Books on the Move, part of the You Heard It Here First podcast network. Join me soon when I start to read Les Miserables. Before then, I will be releasing in the future. This is my plan. I do plan to release one more episode talking about my favorite books, part 5. That'll be the last favorite books episode for the time being because I don't have any more favorite books to talk about, but perhaps I will have more in the future. That being said, I also have the introduction to Les Miserables, and then we'll start getting into reading Les Miserables. Won't that be fun? But right now, things are busy, so I don't know when I'll get to it, but hopefully soon. So thanks for listening, and I will talk to you all next time. Goodbye.
Yay!